me and Hannah are in the process. A lot of you guys know of process of trying to buy a house. We got a baby on the way in a month and a half, and so we're in the no spending money phase of life, where not eating out, all this stuff, you know, the whole concept of if you want to save money, don't spend it. Crazy, right? So we've been doing that for, I don't know, a couple months now, really just buckling down. And you know how God likes to mess with us, and he's like, I think it was about a week and a half ago, he's like, so when did I tell you to do that? And I was like, interesting. And the Lord for years just been asking me, bless this person, bless that person, and he's always faithful, and it's like, it's not even an issue anymore, you know? It's like, fine. And he's like, well, what if I want to bless you? And I'm like, sure. And he's like, what if I want to use your money that you're saving? And I'm like, so, you know, totally messing with my thought process. And there was something I've been wanting to buy for about 3 years, and the Lord had me give what I had away, and he said, go pick out what you want, and I'll get it for you. And I was like, okay. But in the process of being busy, and I don't know if that was God. And anyway, about a week ago, I was looking around, and I saw what I wanted, and I was like, that's cool. And God's like, well, go look and look at it. And I was like, okay. And then he was just like, I couldn't, you know when you see something, you're like, I want that, but it's like, I just shouldn't get that right now. I shouldn't buy this. And I was like, okay. And then God just kept bringing it back, and I was like, okay, like, we're trying to save money here, and like, this doesn't work out. This is a chunk of change. And I talked to my uncle. He called me last Sunday, right before this Sunday night started, and I just felt like I was supposed to grab it. So I grabbed him, ended up talking all through church. Hannah was wondering where I was at. And pretty much he just preached what God was showing me about trusting him. And he had just, him and his wife had pretty much, I can't remember if it was a house they bought or rented, but it got sold out from under them, so they were pretty much houseless. And that week, him and his business partner went to look at a $2 million piece of property in North Dakota and drove out there. And he's like, I don't know what's going on, but God told us to go do this. And pretty much through that, it's going to be this massive thing that God's doing out there. And it was pretty much God's like, are you going to listen to me? And I was like, all right. So I went yesterday and I was like, I have peace, but I don't, because my mind is trying to figure this out. I know I'm supposed to go buy this, but my mind is not. I'm like, and Hannah's like, yep, that bears witness. You need to go do it. And I'm like, you know, it's so weird. You know, if somebody wants to bless me something, that's great. But my money that I worked for, you know, I got this set over here for whatever, you know. So anyway, so I go buy it. And the whole time I'm doing it, I know I'm supposed to be doing this. But I'm like, I shouldn't be doing this because I got to pay for this and I got to pay for this. I'm just like, whatever. And we drove an hour and a half to hang out with some family. And the whole time I'm like, not mad, but just like, oh. You know, and Hannah's talking to me, and I'm like, what's that? And she's repeating thing four times to me, and I'm like, what's that? Sorry. And she's like, do I really need to say it again? I'm like, all right, just tell me, you know? But yeah, so God is really just stretching us, always stretching us to believe for more. But for me, it's a lot of believing. Like, I know he wants to bless me, but it's like, all right, I'm going to use your money to go do it, which messes with my thought process, you know? So yeah, so God is good, and he's just really stretching me to believe I did. So, anyway, yeah, there you go.
Well, I just have a God brought a song to my mind that was based out of that, you know, started out with the words right out of that, those verses. So,
Jeremiah 15, verses 16 to 19. Chosen
courage is strong, and the foolish things to shame the wise. You are help to the helpless, strength to the stranger, and a father to the child who's left alone. And the thirsty you've invited to come to the water, and those who have no money come and buy. So
trip, and all I can say is, wow, God is so amazing. For the last 5 years, Glenn has been trying to get to Pennsylvania, and like, I almost have enough money, and I go, well, I need to do this, and I need to do that, and so I didn't do it. But about 5 months ago, I said, okay, Lord, I've been trying to get there for 5 years. I'm going to hand it over to you. And it wasn't 2 weeks later, Steve and Cheryl said, guess where we're going? We're going to the Little League World Series, which is in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, which is where my son lives. So I was, oh yeah, okay, I'm going. And then my wife said, well, you know, we haven't gone anywhere since we've been married. I know. So I said, Lord, this is definitely going to have to be you, or I'm not going. Because I can't do that. So I give it in his hands. And 1 minute I was going, and the next I wasn't. And I said, okay, that's cool. So it came down for the last few days, and I was trying to get a hold of my son, which I thought was out of town because he wasn't answering his phone. Well, he doesn't use that phone much anymore, so he doesn't get the messages up. So I'm going, oh, he doesn't want to see me. He doesn't want to talk. You know, all those things start going through my mind. And then he called. In fact, it almost went to the last ring because I couldn't believe that he was calling. And I go, I better call. I better pick it up. And he said, that'd be awesome if you could come. But the devil was telling me, well, he doesn't want to talk to you. He doesn't want to see you. So I called Steve and I said, is it too late? Can I come? She said, sure. In fact, that's what my son said because it's been several days since I called him. And his first words, are you still going to be able to come? Which was refreshing to hear because I wasn't sure if he wanted me to or not. So Steve and Cheryl so graciously come to pick me up. And my wife let me go. And just a lot of people don't know, but that's the first time in almost 23 years that we've been separated. In fact, that was the first, other than when I was in the hospital. So it was a big step. But away I go. And like all the way there, I was in awe. I couldn't believe that I was going towards Pennsylvania. And when I get to the mountains, when I see him, it's like the little kid breaks out in me and I'm gone. I'm home. I'm in the mountains. There's animals. There's bugs. There's snakes. It's God's creation. But I wasn't even excited about getting into the mountains. In fact, Roxanne said, when you get to the mountains, call me because I know you're going to be pumped. Well, I didn't call. That wasn't a good thing. I've learned another valuable lesson. When you're supposed to call, guys, make sure you do. Yes, dear. So I get there, and they drop me off at my son's, and nobody's home, but there's a key on the door. So I get in, and it was just completely different walking into their house. So they, Steve and Cheryl left. They were there for a few minutes. So I took my Bible, didn't even unpack anything, and I went to their front porch, which is about 80 feet long. So I'm sitting there reading the Word. And before I realized it, I went all the way through John. And I'm still sitting. I haven't got up. I haven't got a cup of coffee. I realized it was like almost 4 hours later. And I still had time before they got home. So I got a cup of coffee. I went back to the porch. And before I realized, I was on the last chapter of Matthew. And I did that almost every morning. And God was showing me. In fact, He asked me. He goes, where you been? This is what I wanted you to do all along. Yep. So it was awesome because I get to rebuild the breach between me and my son. It was like we were both laying down the foundations on both sides, and then we were coming together in the middle. To me, that was one of the highlights of the trip because that's why I went there. But not only that is I had a grandson who I hadn't seen yet. He's 4 and a half. And it's like when he'd come home, he'd go, Papa, Papa, where are you? Where are you? And then he taught me how to play Mario. And he really felt bad for me because, I mean, that kid is good. 4 and a half years old. I was amazed. I didn't even know where the roads were. And, you know, you can come in 12th. That's the lowest you can go. Oh, five times in a row. And then Keller, he puts his arm around me. He goes, "That's okay, Pappy. When I first started out, I was 12th all the time, too." Really made me feel good, you know. But it was awesome that he cared. And I found out that they pray about everything. They pray before their meals. And it's, you know, it's like I had to see that for myself. And then I got to see my mom, which I thought was like a bonus, who's in a nursing home, who's 89. And it's been 5 years since I saw her, so I was a little apprehensive of what am I going to see? What's she going to be like? Is she going to remember me? Because she has the beginning of Alzheimer's. The first day I went there, she didn't know me. And I started beating myself up. I should have came sooner. I should have came sooner. I shouldn't have waited. So I said, "God, I have to give this to you." So as I drove home, I was feeling bad, and I stopped to see my sister, who was, I have to go right by her house. And she has had cancer, but now she has no cancer. So we had a lot to talk about. But as we're sitting there having lunch on her back porch, my niece, who works about 3 blocks away at a bank, she called her up and said, "Come and see your uncle." So we were sitting there on the back porch, and we were talking about how crazy we were as kids. And remember when you did that? And I, yeah. Remember when I did that? Yeah, you got in a lot of trouble. And all of a sudden, the table is about as round as these. The table starts shaking. So I'm looking to see who it was, and come to find out, they were looking to see who was doing it. And we were just sitting there kind of going, okay. And then I looked on the wall and the flowers were moving. Well, it was part of the earthquake in Virginia. And my sister, the card that she is, she wasn't saying anything, which is very... I said, "Why didn't you say anything?" She goes, "Well, I wanted to make sure somebody else felt it before I'd said anything, because I know you think I'm crazy and you'd really think I was nuts." So that was like a neat moment for us. And then I started praying. I said, "God, whatever you're up to, I want in on." And they both looked at me as if I had egg on my face. She goes, "Why did you pray that?" I said, "Because God's up to something. We need to pay attention." So then I find where we're sitting there, they're complaining about the gas companies. There's like 10 of them up in the mountains that are drilling for gas. And they've basically taken over the area. They've been there for about a year. And if people have property where they're dwelling or digging, they're really happy because it's about money. But the other people, it's really changing the environment. In fact, my sister was telling me that one lady, she smelled gas, methane in her water. So she called somebody to have it come check. And they come out with their bottles and their test tubes, and they tested it. Well, that's above the that's okay. It's above the, it's in between the limits of being okay. And then the husband says, "Well, is this okay?" He takes a lighter, and the fumes that are coming out from the faucet light like a torch. And the whole time his lighter's out, and it's burning. He says, "Now, is that normal?" So what God showed me is, that it's not about the money. We all have greed. Everybody's excited about the money, but what's it going to do to the environment? And they found, since they've been there, that there's 80% more gas than they ever figured. Plus, below that, they're finding oil. I mean, a lot of it. But what God has showed me, so then I've got to step back. So then the next day I go fishing. And I've been waiting for like 5 days. But God said, "Not yet." But finally he said, "You can go up Rock Run." So here I go. I'm like a little kid. I got my fishing pole right in the seat beside me, not in the back, you know, ready to jump out. And I go up Rock Run. It's a dirt road. And I come to my first, almost favorite fishing hole. So I start to pull over. And God says, "No, I want you to keep going." Well, I went past 5 of my favorite fishing holes. And I'm going, what's going on? He said, this isn't where I want you to stop. So I get all the way to the end of the road, and you go across the bridge, and then you go up over the mountain, and there's no more fishing. But if I'd have gone straight, there's my really favorite fishing hole. But they've got a gate across. So I went across the bridge, and I'm looking at the gate, probably from here to out the mailbox, going, I really wish I could figure out how to get around that gate with this car. And I scoped it out, you know. It wasn't mine. If it had been mine, I might have tried, but it wouldn't have been pretty because there was no room. So I'm sitting there, and it's about an hour. I'm going, Lord, here I am. What do you want me to do? He said, start walking. I go, but Lord, I mean, I argued for, you know, not long, 15, 20 minutes. So finally I said, okay, here I go. So I walk across the bridge. I have my pole in my hand, and I duck under the gate, and I'm walking. And I'm thinking, well, this isn't going to last very long. So I get to another fishing hole, which is like 100 yards, and no, I can't go down there. I'm going, Lord, I don't know how much further I can walk. I said, keep walking. So I see a couple deer, and that kind of, you know, pumps me up. Oh, yeah, deer. Okay, we can walk now. So I walk probably 3/4 of a mile, and I stop, and the road starts to go up. But if you go straight, there's this nice little fishing hole. So I was going to go right, and God said, no, I want you to go up. And again, I'm going, but God, I'm not going to make it up this hill. And he was like saying, will you go? So off I go up this hill, and I'm thinking, boy, I'm going to stop a third. I get halfway up, and I realized I was halfway. And it was like I was shocked. I stopped because I thought I had to rest. And I wasn't panting. I wasn't sweating. It was like I was tired, but I wasn't tired. So then I look at the top, and I can just about see the top, and I see this rock, and I go, I'm shooting for that rock because I'm going to sit down. So off I go, you know, walking, looking around at the trees, looking for bear, hoping I'd see one, and kind of hoping I wouldn't because I didn't have a gun. And I get to the top, and I stop, and I go, yeah, yes, thank you, Jesus. And I look at that rock. I didn't need to sit down. And I'm just being blown away, like, what is going on? So I walk about 20 more feet, and God says, turn right. That's your fishing hole. But it's down over the mountain. I get, okay, that's my fishing hole down there, but if I get down there, am I going to be able to get back up? And he goes, did I bring you this far? So down over the mountain I go, slipping and sliding. And I get like halfway down, and I'm so excited, I stop and baited my hook. I put a worm on. And I'm like, from here to where we park, away from the fishing hole. I wasn't excited or nothing. So I'm sneaking up on the hole, you know. And I'm getting closer and closer. And I'm devastated. There's hardly any water. My favorite fishing hole. There's a waterfall that my wife and I have nicknamed it Davis Falls. It's probably as wide as the end of this room coming off the mountain. And I looked and it was like 8 inches wide. I'm going, what's going on? Where's the water? So I got my pole. There was enough water that it was going to be fish. So I caught 3 fish. The guy was saying, okay, there's fish here. So the first one, it was kind of a nice one. I said, I'm going to keep that. He goes, no, I'll let it go. Okay, must be more bigger ones. I caught 2 more, and he said, let them go. So I'm thinking, why am I fishing? He said, okay, throw in 1 more time. I got a bluegill. Dude, there's no bluegills in this stream. They're not supposed to be. But there was a bluegill. And I got a picture just to prove it. Because I know nobody believed me. So I'm sitting there in the rock, and I'm just kind of taking this all in. And, you know, the living waters was flowing, because that's what it's like to me up there. It's just, it's all God's creation. And he said to me, all these years, you've been worshiping my creation. You haven't been worshiping me. I sat there. And that's what he was showing me. That the reason I wasn't excited coming through the mountains, because it was going to be different this time. He was going to show me what my focus was supposed to be on all those years. So as I got that out of my system. I said, okay, what am I supposed to do now? He said, well, head back to the car. So I'm walking along, you know, starting down this deep, going down at this deep breeze, you know. I get partway down, and I can see this cabin. But to get to it, you got to walk down the road and come back, I thought. God said, if you get down to the end of that road, you won't walk back, so I want you to go down over the mountain again. I didn't even argue. So I'm going, anybody that's ever fished, going through the trees, you got to get your pole through. And I got tangled up a couple times, and I fell, and I'm laughing. And I'm glad there was nobody out there, because they probably thought I was crazy. So I get down to the road that goes to the cabin, and this guy's on the outside painting his cabin. Well, he was next to the water, and there's so much noise, even though it's over rocks, you can't hear. So I started whistling. And he noticed me and waved. So I get up, and we start talking. And he said, you doing any good? I said, well, I caught 6, but I threw them back. He said, well, that's awesome. I said, yeah, I just come up here to get away and to get closer to God. And his eyes lit up. And he said, where are you from? I'm originally from Ralston, which is the town. He said, well, what's your last name? I said, Davis. He said, is your dad Bud or Lloyd? I go, my dad was Bud. He started laughing. He said, your dad used to work on our cabin. I said, I remember that as a little kid. He said, my dad is 92. So we talked, found out that he was a pastor. Well, 2.5 hours later, he said, oh my God, I got to be in Williamsport in a half hour. And that's like a 45-minute trip. So he's scurrying to get around and loading up. And then he starts telling, while he's talking, he can't not talk because he's excited that he found somebody to talk to God about. And he told me, he said, yeah, last year, my dad's 92 this year, and he wanted to come to the bear camp for the last time because he said, I'm hoping somebody gets a deer or a bear, you know, for camp the last time I'll pay to come up here. So his son said, I didn't even want to hunt. And this, to me, is the best part. So, 9 o'clock in the morning, his dad wakes up and he says to his son, I thought you were going hunting. He goes, yeah, I'm going. So he says, I made a sandwich, I made another pot of coffee. I talked to my dad. My dad said, are you going to go today? So he said, I grabbed my gun, got dressed, and I walked up over the mountain to the road I was on. He said, I went like 200 yards more. And I decided, I'm not going any further. I'm just going to sit here, and then I'm going to go back to the cabin. He said, I'm sitting there and looking. Here comes a bear. He goes, I prayed the bear would go the other way so I didn't have to shoot him. But, oh, no, this bear walked right down. And it's a cinnamon bear, which in that area, most of them are all black, so cinnamon's like a trophy. So I kept on praying. He said he came right to me, and I shot him. He said, I took him down. My dad was so happy, he said, and I made him a rug. And that's all his dad talks about. So he said, I really got to go now. He said, but before I go, I want to give you something. So he gets out his keychain, and he gives me the key to his cabin. I'm going, well, what's this for? He said, well, use it anytime you want. I go, well, I'm going back to Michigan. And I said, I might be back next year. I said, I'll just lose it. I'll give it to you. I'll give it back to you. So then he proceeds to tell me he's a game warden. And I'm going, dude, I've been fishing, no license. God would not let me not tell him that I didn't have a license. I'm going, Roxanne's going to really like this. I got a ticket, you know. I told you you should have bought a license. So I said, I got to confess. I don't have a license. He said, do you have any fish on you? I go, no, I threw them all back. He said, as far as I'm good, as far as I'm concerned, you're good to go. And he goes, why did you tell me? I said, because God told me to. So not only do I have a place to go, if I ever need to, but he said there's one stipulation. If I stay at the cabin, that we have to read the Bible and there's no swearing. So to me, that was a God moment. It was like reassuring me that there's other people out here in the world that are that concerned about God. And I could go on and on about things that happened, but I don't want to take up all your time. But I'm sitting on the front porch and I'm reading the Bible and I hear this bike coming down because I could tell it was a bike. And I looked up, and as I looked up, it was my buddy that I went to grade school and high school with, who I was going to call, but God told me not to. So he stopped, and I was supposed to go to lunch with him the next day. I'm shortening the story. And he calls and says, I can't have lunch. I'm in the hospital. I have a rapid heartbeat. Well, the hospital, lo and behold, is 3 blocks away. So I go to the hospital, hadn't seen him yet, and there's this girl, nurse, sitting in a chair next to him, and I walk in and say hi, and I say, can I pray for you? And he kind of looked at me, because last time I saw him, we were drinking buddies. He said, yeah. So I got all done praying. He goes, that was different. And this girl said, that was great. She said, you knew who I am? It was his sister, who I hadn't seen in 20 years. And she couldn't believe that. You mean you don't drink anymore? You don't carouse anymore? I go, no, I'm a different creature. She got ready to go, and she said, I could see that in you. So the whole trip was God ordained, and there's a lot more. But what I got out of the whole trip is we have to let go and let God. We have to depend on Him every second and listen to what He says. Because His word is will set us free. It's not how we can make things happen. It's not what we do. It's if we listen and obey. And I just want to thank you, dear Lord, for the breach that you brought together with my son and I, being able to see my mother, being able to show her that I still love her and that she loved me, and to see that my sister is doing all right, and that I got to pray for an awesome friend. And Lord, without you, I couldn't have done any of it. So I give you the praise and the glory. I just say thank you, Jesus.
Like I said, it was 10 years ago we were attacked. A few weeks ago, I don't remember where I was at and what I was doing, but I do know I was listening to the radio. And it was some places are going to hold anniversaries, memorials, and everything around the country. And a few hours later, I think I was at home listening to music and laying on the floor, my best spot, except for the couch. And I had the scriptures by my side. I started scanning the scriptures for things. Just flipping, you know, pages and everything. And I came across a few things God told me to write. I don't know if you want to look at it first, or if you just want me to read it, or what. This ain't really done. But like I said, I got to take these off. I wrote, Tribute to America. Can a nation rise without the Lord's help? In Psalms 33:12, it says, Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Then this came across my mind. We were once. Isaiah 26:2. Open the gates that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Do we now keep the truth? Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Are we still a righteous nation? 1 Chronicles 16:31. Let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Can we say that? Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge. Can't even read my own writing. Refuge and strength. He once was to America. Psalms 48:14. For this God is our God forever and ever. America has left him. Psalm 71:1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Now, who does America trust? Psalm 71:5. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, from my youth. America had a godly start. Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. America, a long time ago, searched the Scriptures. Psalms 119:161. My heart standeth in awe of thy word. America once gave great honor to the book. Proverbs 22:28. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set up. Our biblical foundation is being destroyed, one stone at a time. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth the nation. Are we a nation? Are we any longer righteous? In Daniel it reads, the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men. And I stopped there because I didn't have anything. But as Sue was talking, something else came through my mind. As believers in this nation, we were given by the great God the ability to influence our laws that is made. Like I said, next Sunday is the 10th of... I don't know why this upsets me so, and why I come to tears half the time when I'm talking about America. But just as Pearl Harbor and other things that's happened to our great nation, it was for a purpose. And I've talked to people off and on lately about what happened 10 years ago. That God's waking us up in this nation. He's moving. Just as Israel sinned over and over. God always sent prophets and priests to them to wake them up. There were times they did wake up and repented. Are we going to be destroyed? Are we going to wake up and do something? Are we going to see this nation destroyed? Or us locked in prisons for the book and allow another religion to take over? Are we going to stand or are we going to crumble and fall?